Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll discuss the past 3 weeks of the show. The show is interactive. Feel free to call in at 914-338-1239 or join us in our chat room. You must register to post in the chat room. Don't forget to add us as a friend to be alerted to future shows. Check us out daily at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We're on Facebook as Diva Days. Okay, guys. So it's been, days has actually been pretty good the last few weeks. So I wanted to introduce you guys to everybody. We have Orion here today.
Hello, hello.
And we have Queen of the Night.
Hi, everyone.
Fancy Face.
Hello.
And Saddle Shoes.
Hi, guys.
And we're all healthy this week.
Relatively.
Physically.
Maybe not mentally. Yeah.
No. Never.
Never.
Okay. Quinny, what did you think of the big reveal this week when Ray finally told Sammy about the baby switch?
I thought it wasn't as exciting as I thought it should be. I thought that more people up in Salem should have been involved. I think Allie did a great job, though, with her reaction the whole way through, not believing him at first, and then the reality setting in, and her being sad about Grace. But I think EJ should have been there. I think it would have been more exciting and more powerful if he would have been there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about anyone else thinks?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Fancy Face?
I agree with Queen of the Night that if EJ had been there, I think it would have really added to the scene. I didn't expect it to be a big climactic blow-up because it seems to be moving as everything else in the scene has been, which has been, just dragging every plot point out. Some people like it. I mean, I don't like plots that move too fast, but this one I think is just moving a little too slow for my taste, but Allison Sweeney did a great job,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad it's finally out there and we can finally move on to the next part of the story, you know. So.
Saddle Shoes, did you get a chance to see it? The Friday's after.
Yeah, I did watch Thursday's. I didn't watch Friday, but I watched Thursday's show, and it was, I think it was actually worse than most of what was leading up to it. It, just my personal opinion, it was so underwhelming, but they've just been hammering away at it, you know, coming out, so I wasn't expecting a lot. And making it Rafe tell her, be the one who tells her is, I don't know who the rocket scientist is at the moment. Man, if they could have picked the stupidest person to be the one to tell her, that was him. And the one who was going to make it even worse because he has 3 facial expressions. And he didn't use any of them.
I agree.
He couldn't even use those.
Yeah. Rafe was way too calm, and I hated the fake out. He came in there and said, "Your baby's not dead." Well, of course she's going to think he's talking about Grace. I mean, that's so cruel. I just thought
that wasn't poor Rafe. That was whoever wrote the stupid thing, but... That was, I mean, combined, the only person in the entire thing who managed to put any life into it was Allison Sweeney.
Yeah,
I'm not her biggest fan.
I'm
not her biggest fan, but I think she did great in comparison to everything else that came together for it. I don't get why they couldn't have had everybody at the Demira Mansion.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I
mean, it's not a set they have to put up. They use it every day.
Yeah, that would have been more exciting if you had all the culprits in the room and Rafe announces to everybody what happened, and then you have Nicole and Stefna squirming.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Right.
I mean, they managed to put most of the people in there when Tony died. They had all of the people there except for Rafe. but they managed, if they have enough money to do a christening with all of the people involved, then they could have done it for the reveal.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it wouldn't have mattered because they dragged this thing out for so long, and the worst part was they just kept hammering away at the same thing over and over and over. I couldn't care less at this point. And it has I see people going on about how, well, it's because you read spoilers. No, it's not. It's because the story sucked.
Yeah.
And Rafe's her hero. You know, he's a hero. Did you hear her say that?
I heard her say that, and then I saw the promo for next week where she's going on about how the announcer they have for the promos is just they need to shoot him. He's awful, and he's going on about how Rafe is her hero, and I'm going, are they trying to sell this to 9-year-olds? Because they're not selling it to anybody my age.
Uh-huh.
No, we're all gonna laugh. That's something that ridiculous. I have to think they're trying to get the elementary crowd interested.
I did like in one of the previews I saw where EJ, I guess, finds out the truth, and he was with Sammy and Sydney, and they're out on the pier. I don't know. It looks like they're doing a drug deal, except it's with a baby or something.
Yeah.
It's bizarre looking, but it looks like he's going to find out sooner rather than later. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, it's going to take, you know, 1 week for EJ to find out, 1 week for something else to happen. You know, they've been just dragging it out so slowly. And that's the thing. They couldn't have Stefano and Nicole and everyone in the same room at the same time because, you know, that's just not going in sync with how they've been doing, dragging this whole thing out, you know.
True. And then they would have had to actually write something interesting because they would have had to provide something for those actors.
Well, you know, if it had been the 80s, they all would have been at a big splashy party with everyone dressed in
design, yeah.
And then we'd reveal it in front of everyone, and then everyone would go crazy, but it ain't the 80s anymore, you know.
It doesn't even have to be the 80s. How many months ago was Sydney's baptism? They had 6-7 people at the mansion. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have cost them that much because, of course, Tomlin is such a cheapskate. He wouldn't have done it otherwise. So,
what do you think, Orion?
I don't have a whole lot to say about the thing other than hallelujah, it's finally over. I mean, sadly, I have to admit that Rafe is my hero, too, because he put an end to this entire crap, finally. I mean, could have picked a better character, but you know what? I'll take what I can get.
That's true.
And
then EJ sees Rafe on the pier.
Oh, yeah, that was sexy. him feeling Rafe up.
Should have pulled on his pants and just took off.
That was the most romantic thing I've seen on this show in ages.
He was so concerned for him, too.
At least Carly gave him mouth-to-mouth, though. Remember? On the boat, gave Rafe mouth-to-mouth. But EJ did give Lucas EJ did give Lucas mouth-to-mouth, though, that one time at the spa.
That was hot.
Lucas, oh, yeah, that was hot, yeah.
I went around, too.
Sam Scott could give anybody mouth to mouth, and it would be hot almost.
Be hot, yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, okay. So I know Orion wanted to talk about his favorite character ever, Miss Carly.
Oh,
I did.
Yes.
I did. What can I say? I kind of surprised myself with this one, but she. I've kind of been liking the Bo and Carly stuff a bit, and that kind of, like, drew me off a bit because, like you already know, I'm not a fan of hers, but she hasn't really been bugging me as much, partly because of Hope's pig-headedness.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm still.
You think it's because of pig-headedness, or because they've written her to come in and she's for a change? She really has a reason to be the victim. Actually, she isn't really the victim. She's not playing the victim, but at least for a change, she's got a reason to be in trouble. As opposed to.
I think Bo and Hope are being a bit pig-headed in some ways. I don't know. Hope was kind of annoying with the whole, I don't know, keeping Sierra from Bo and just taking off and just not really giving it a chance to work out the relationship. And it's kind of funny that once Carly came into the picture, Hope was starting to realize that some of her actions probably led to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Right.
So it's, I don't know, it's kind of like she's eating a little crow right now, and I'm kind of enjoying that actually.
Which one's being cruel? Yes. Hope or Carly?
Hope.
Hope.
Yeah.
She's being a hypocrite too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted
she's
to protect Sierra, and then she wants to move her back in. It just, you know, doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after she knew about Carly.
Yeah, right.
I just wish they would have written it so that she wasn't. They weren't having a marital problem until Carly showed up, because I would have really liked to see what would happen if his ex shows up and they're doing fine, and then what happens instead of, you know, them already having a problem. But I didn't like that.
Why does she have to stay with him?
Sympathetic life, a light, you know, if he were to, if Bo and Hope had no problems, and then he were to, you know, stray from Hope to go to Carly, that would make Bo look like an ass, and they can't have that. So,
not if it was. I don't think so necessarily. I don't know. I love Bo and Hope together, but the way they've been written for the last year, at least, they're back in Riley Land, so they're not fun anymore. So,
well, you know, I was the biggest Bo and Hope fan in the 80s. I just loved them so much. And I remember when Hope left and then Carly came on, for the longest time I couldn't stand Carly because she was, you know, every time I saw Bo, I wanted him with Hope, you know. And Carly was just this other woman that was, you know, her replacement. And I never really liked Carly that first time. This time around, I like her a little better. I don't know if Bo and Hope have just been through so many bad storylines and gotten so dull to me that, you know, now I'm just not as into them or what, but, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a Bo and Carly fan or anything, but I also don't find her as annoying as I did the first time, and I think Bo and Carly have kind of a nice, you know, friendship chemistry going, if nothing else, and I loved the scene when Hope found Carly in the bed. I thought that was one of the best scenes last week or whenever it was. Because
I have liked their scenes, although I like Carly and Victor's scene the best. And talk about somebody being a total hypocrite, man. I'm waiting for Bo to bring up the fact that Victor tried to kill him over Carly. He hasn't said, nobody's even mentioned that. You know, if the writers remember, which Higley ought to since she was around. But I was just curious. I just would have, I mean, have they ever done a storyline with Bo and Hope where they're fine, they're together, and then someone shows up from their past? I don't think they have. See, that would have been more interesting to me. And I know they wouldn't have written it very well. So Bo would have ended up looking like a schmuck if he left, but it would still be, at least it would be different. This is the same old stuff to me.
Yeah.
Well,
and, and the only
back
thing
so many times, I just don't remember if they ever were happy together when Billy came back one of the millions of times that she came back. You know.
You're happy for like
5 minutes. No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody was ever happy for more than 5 seconds when Riley was writing, so it couldn't have been then.
That's true.
But yeah, the only reason I'm enjoying this is all three actors and Justin and Victor are all. They're a lot of fun to watch, so I just wish the story was different.
But yeah, there was great acting at the jail when Carly's behind bars, and she was getting real snarky with Victor, and he just laid the smackdown on her. It was fantastic. He completely wiped the smirk off of her face, and I just loved it.
Oh,
well, I can't wait.
Passion.
I can't wait till she sees Vivian. Yeah.
Oh, Vivian.
Oh, that looks so good.
That is.
And Vivian and Victor in the preview.
I'm looking more forward to Vivian showing up than I am to EJ finding out about the kid.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Vivian and Zombie Vaughn.
That's just
when
bad.
Vivian's on screen, the whole show's better, you know? She's
yeah.
on. You know, though, Sydney flat out, though. The last couple of weeks, that girl's just been rocking it.
Yeah.
She even made Dan.
She made me like Dan. Oh, man. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, Chloe's sitting there passed out, and there's Sydney sitting there.
Yeah. So who thinks that Dan and Carly are the parents of Mia?
Oh.
Did you hear that one?
Oh, my God.
I think
you know,
so, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, Carly's hugging Chloe on the pier, and what do? We switch to Dan playing with daddy with Sydney, with the baby.
Actually,
you know?
Somebody was speculating that because she went off on Chad, it would be more. It would work better if he was her kid,
uh-huh.
and that makes a lot more sense, soapy, you
yeah.
know, and soapy wise.
Okay.
Because
okay, Mia or Chad. I don't think it's going to be a
Chad would be better.
Harley and Bo baby though.
Yeah,
I thought if they make Mia somebody's kid, she's never going to go away.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll make it seem like it's Mia, but it really is Chad, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I read some other speculation where the girl who plays Melanie was
mm-hmm.
saying that they asked her, I guess, last week at Day of Days if, you know, if we're going to find out who her parents are, and she was saying she couldn't say, but it was really explosive, and I'm thinking, ooh, now that is, I like that.
Well, maybe it's her, yeah.
Her father
would be a lot.
So her father, the guy
who's been killing it on One Life to Live, man, that show is like on fire compared to Days. And
Trent,
the sad part
Trent wasn't her real father, or he was. I mean, is it
he
like
living.
Real?
As far as we know, he was her real father.
Oh, okay.
Real father. But why was she, was there something about him being in Europe for a while? I don't remember that part. Was there anything about him being in Europe for a while when did
I
you say
remember.
Anything about that? I don't either.
Okay.
But I just hope Melanie doesn't end up a Demir or something. They wouldn't be stupid enough to do that, would they?
She's not even in their hemisphere there, so I don't see that happening. But I could see that
could
Chad
use another Demir though.
Yeah, I could see the Chad, Carly, Dan thing because the soaps always do the obvious thing, which is the long-lost child always hates or fights with the parents.
Yeah.
Just like Katie.
And I don't like the guy that plays him all that much, but he's certainly a hell of a lot better than the one playing Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the guy playing Chad's doing a lot better.
Yeah. Even the one playing Will, he's doing good, too, I think. Better than Mia.
Mia's been crying a lot, though. I mean, she's got that down pat. She just needs
crying? Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to work on everything else. But she's got the crying stuff down pat.
Oh, I just want a Mia recast. I just recast her with someone else is really what I want.
Recast her with Charity Romer.
Oh, no.
Oh no!
At least that would be
a little better than that.
We could get lots of laughs from that at least.
Oh gosh!
Instead of
I do like Mia's hair better. She fixed her hair. So
off to the hair.
Someone mentioned they think they hired a new hairstylist. I think that person has got it because everybody's hairstyles looks better lately.
I think Carly needs bangs, though. Yeah.
Well, except for Sammy. Whose idea was it to put her in a headband so she looks like she's in eighth grade?
Yeah.
I saw Monday's show, and it really is her and Nicole's scenes are great, but with her looking like, seriously, she looks like she's in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
It really takes away from a little bit. Monday's show is good.
Well, I guess I have to wait till Monday, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just.
Well, the part between Sammy and Nicole is good. The confrontation is good.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. That's gonna be fun.
I didn't think the slapping her was gonna be enough, but they made it work. So what else do we get to talk about tonight?
Is this just my imagination, or has Stefano become a bit neutered compared to his previous, I don't know?
Well, he did try to take out Rafe. He wasn't that neutered. But, I mean, him running out of town, I mean, that was kind of funny.
I hated that. It's like Stefano would always have a contingency plan, you know, if something went wrong. With it, with something, he always drew another rabbit out of the hat, and you all. So you know, with all the times that this guy has, you know, sent hitmen after people, surely this isn't the first time something went wrong, and he had to come up with another idea. But just to say, okay, well, I guess I better get out of here. That just struck me as stupid and out of character.
Well, not to mention,
time to backburner him, maybe.
He had to worry about some hitman fingering him after pulling all that crap at the hospital year before last and getting out of that.
Yeah.
In the police department, no less. I mean, they had him down in handcuffs, and he still got out of it. So he needs to run away over one hitman.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget that other hitman did a bad job with Philip.
Yeah.
He shot him.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
Still, right in the chest.
Stefano has the worst hitmen. They're just awful.
Get them all from Craigslist.
They're going after major characters. They can't have him. He can't get to kill any of them. God forbid, Rafe die.
Yeah.
Well, see, that would have made sense. Have Rafe die instead of Tony. But this is the same spot too, and they still have the same wooded pallets right there. They haven't. They haven't learned.
And he didn't fall on it.
Uh huh. No, he didn't. He fell down somehow. I don't even know how the hell he did that.
He missed it.
Yeah.
Well, it is pretty hard watching scenes
Rafe
that
falls
in that
chunk of wood.
Like waiting for someone else to slip or the handrail to give way.
Well, last time he was on the pier is when Meredith pushed him off after she bricked him.
How do you survive that one?
I want to know how you can't survive a fall.
And that was for days.
From 3 feet up the stairs, but you can survive 3 days in hypothermia in the river.
And it was 3 days.
In a place that gets really cold.
And he was unconscious in the water. You know, most people drown when they're unconscious.
Yeah.
But maybe such an airhead, his head just floated up at the top of the water and he went drown.
Well, first of all, the actor has to be friends with Gary Tomlin, and second of all, you have to have Carly Manning save the character because you know Carly can save anyone from the death.
Well,
I mean,
that you had to have been on Passion, where you had a wit. So,
uh-huh.
Sorry.
Well, that reminds me, if Carly is so that Carly has to live with Bo, because. They went extradite her to Europe, you know, to Europe, wherever the hell that was, and people were after her. Then why is she just running around the pier by herself? I mean,
that's a good question.
If it's too dangerous for Hope and Sierra to move back home, then why is Carly just, you know, gallivanting all over town by herself? No one.
Yeah, she had to stay in the house.
She's supposed to stay in the house, but she's not listening, of course.
But she wasn't. Where is she even going? She just went to the pier. I mean,
well, not to mention
the
pier is hardly the safest
computer,
place.
Didn't she?
Oh,
she looked
say?
Up. She looked up something on the computer or something, didn't she? It looked
oh,
like she looked up
yeah.
someone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what she was going to do.
Oh, that's
they
right.
They didn't really explain why she was doing it or who, but that's what leads me to think that maybe
I think
Mia's
she's looking
daughter,
for her child. Yes, she's trying to find out where her child is. Yeah.
Yeah,
this big thing she refuses to tell Justin.
Yeah.
Maybe, there's like a GPS system, like a chip inside of her kid, and she just goes online and figures out, oh, my kid's at the pier. So I'll go down the pier, and there's Mia. I just don't understand. She's so dangerous. I don't understand why she's just out walking around and
You know, they didn't put an ankle bracelet on it like they had on Lincoln.
Well, I understand, too, is why is she released into Bo's custody when Bo should have been arrested for harboring her in the first place?
Harboring a fugitive.
Yeah. And why does Bo? There's so many other people in France she could stay with.
Well, if you know it had been Roman, you know he would have had sex with her.
Yeah, bro, what's wrong with Roman? Or,
well, that, you know. And, you know, Roman likes Bo's exes, too. So that would have happened.
Yeah.
Roman likes everybody's exes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Roman's exes, we had a little bit of a Cayman scene this week at the police station.
Oh, just barely.
She's calling him an idiot and everything, yeah.
Oh, she cracked me up. That was funny as hell.
Yeah. Cay was funny.
I thought we were going to have a good E.J. Kate scene for a few seconds, and then Nicole
Mommy.
Yeah.
EJ turning to her and going, "Hey, Mommy, where's Daddy? Just crack me up."
Mommy, where's Daddy? That was good.
That was great.
That was a good scene. I liked when the Demira maid, ditched Sydney with Kate, and Kate's like, "Now what do I do?" And then
wonderful.
Chloe showed up, and she doesn't like Chloe, but here, take the baby. I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't stop her from dumping the kid.
She needed Chloe to do a favor for her,
Well, that's funny. I mean,
I tried to kill you, but here, help me out.
Yeah. But Kate knows how to handle children. She's had 10 million kids. She can't keep track of them all. She has 10 million grandchildren. I mean, her youngest grandchild is what, Allie? So she can't handle little Sydney?
I wondered about that, too.
Yeah.
And speaking of Allie, what the hell has happened to that kid? Lucas is in rehab. Sammy's running around trying to find Sydney. Who's taking care of poor Allie? She talk about the neglected middle child, you know?
Isn't Allie in Europe with Donna Marlena?
Oh, is she? I don't remember hearing
that.
I
haven't heard
she come back with Johnny.
Back.
Okay.
I seem to remember her going there and then...
So John sends Sammy $50,000, so Sammy ships her daughter off to John. That's a good deal.
What happened to Sammy going to find a job that lasted all of a day?
Oh,
it gave Maggie a scene, and then that was it.
Men are more important. Right. What do you think about that, Ari? Is men more important than a job?
A trick question.
Season. So what do you guys think about Stefano telling Kate to stay out of his business? Do you think she actually will?
Of course not.
She knew exactly what he was doing.
Well, he turned everything over to Kate, right? So now she's going to fight I think her and EJ are going to get into it.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting, which could lead to other things.
Yeah. I don't think it's going
to
be out of
which
town,
I'd like
also.
To see.
Well, has anybody heard what's going to happen after EJ and Stefano get into it?
I don't know.
Is he going to leave? Is he going to stick around?
Supposedly he disowns him.
I don't know what's going to happen. That's going to be interesting.
Well, I don't know that it'll be interesting. I don't see them coming up with something as good as what they're trying to do, which I assume is, well, you know, he's broken off with all of his other kids, so it's bound to happen with EJ.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so much better with all of his other kids. Hell, even when he was fighting with Megan, it was better. I mean, this is just...
Well, you know, there was that whole interview Michael Fairman had with James Scott, and James Scott said there was some big other twist coming that isn't being very predictable right now, but there's supposed to be some other big twist that's coming from all this. And so I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen after the big thing with Stefano, you know, like maybe EJ's really, I've heard theories EJ's really going to go into the dark side, I mean, really start to become a bad guy again.
Well, I've heard
I don't know if
gonna,
it'll happen or not.
Not a big, very big twist. How about Nicole's baby's alive or something?
You know, people have mentioned that a lot, and I don't see what the I don't see what the difference would be because he's not going to take the full back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even James has said that that marriage is completely over.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, last week at Day of Days, several people asked him, and he said, "No, it's dead. It's completely dead."
Wow.
And so I don't see what I don't.
Oh, no, I like them together.
I mean, a twist would have to change something.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
How could it possibly be Nicole's kid? I mean, unless you're using it like Chelsea coming back, you know, it's like how Chelsea was sort of, you know, a miscarriage, and then it turned out she really was alive, you know. But it's like,
well, I heard. I saw somebody suggest that they would say that Grace was actually Nicole's baby, although that would take a lot of explaining, and it wouldn't change anything either because they're both dead.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe Dr. Baker switched the babies back. But you know, I thought it was interesting the way Rafe proved
that
it.
That could be, yeah.
He took.
See, that would be. That would change things if it turned out that Grace was, that Sydney was really Grace.
Yeah.
That would change things. But, I mean, unless they make Chad or somebody else's kid,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that's going to change things so that it'll.
That'll
just give us a custody battle that'll go on forever. And what's the purpose, since EJ has already said that if Sydney isn't his kid, that he believes Chad ought to raise this. You know, he ought to. She belongs to him, and he wouldn't do anything about keeping her.
Well, we could end up with Nicole versus Chad, but just the way Rafe proved it, he took Sydney's teething ring. But if they're still there, two other kids in the apartment. You know, Johnny and Allie are still there. Which I don't know.
Even one of Grace's old. Rings,
yeah,
or
there could be someone else's DNA on it, and Johnny and Allie are both Sammy's kids, so of course Sammy would be a match as the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had Sammy's toothbrush, and you don't know if Nicole accidentally used it, or you know what I mean, or even maybe he grabbed the wrong toothbrush. So I don't know. I think it's kind of still up in the air. But
Don't give him ideas.
that's the part of this I don't like.
And if they're going to make Chad like the son of somebody, Carly and Daniel,
right.
Well, then maybe they need a baby to be continuation.
The only twist I've seen so far that would be interesting in the least is if EJ is not Elvis. If they were to change it so that EJ, not that he's not a Demera, but that he's not Elvis.
EJ's not a Demera, uncle.
Or he's got a twin. I wouldn't really like that if he had a twin, but at least it would be fun. I mean, just switching the babies around is not going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
To me. Two times James Scott, that would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If I got
two. Yeah.
See if he could really do it this time without the accent.
Yeah, I remember someone saying something like, EJ has to be a Demera because he looks just like Santo. So
there's such a thing as plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
The height, you have to explain the height, but the face is easily explained away, if you ask me.
Maybe EJ's father is Andre. That'd be crazy.
Yes.
But
oh, yeah.
But if Susan's his mother, then, you know. I guess that was a sperm donation.
Well, see, I wish they would
fix
that.
Susan maybe isn't. Maybe it isn't Susan.
It shouldn't be. He should not be Susan's kid. This is stupid that he is Susan's kid. That is the dumbest thing they ever did.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have made him a Demera in so many other ways. Why did it have to be Susan?
Should have been Tony.
So that he was a baby when Will was like 10. Anyway. That's the only kind of twist I'd like, but that's not the twist we'll get, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be something about the baby that'll just go on and on and on.
Well, more screen time for Sydney, that's just a plus for everybody.
That would, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have, Sydney should be on every single frickin' day. She
unless they,
every scene.
Forced.
Yes.
They should make Sydney should be a twin.
Taylor should not be allowed to be in a scene unless she's with Sydney, because, man, that would make
but
me put up with her at least.
It may make sense about the whole thing about Grace and Sydney being swished, because we have the scene this week with Dan and Sydney sort of connecting up, and it could be that if Chad or Mia turns out to be the daughter of Carly and Dan, then Dan was actually, and then Grace and Sydney were switched, then Dan was actually with his own granddaughter and didn't know it. Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, I could see that happen. I can see
if
that.
If they make Dan a grandfather and he's with Chloe, that'll just be even sicker. Sorry.
Grandpa
oh,
Dan.
Great. Grandma Carly. As soon as they
grandma.
Get Carly in the show, they make her a grandma.
Yeah. That could be where this is going.
Wasn't
hey, Carly, we figured it out already.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Didn't
Carly well, I really hope they do come up with something we haven't thought of yet. That would be cool, but I don't have much.
Broke the news.
Lisa's not predictable, so that's nice. But that's the thing, if it wasn't for James Scott, we wouldn't even know there's something coming up. You know what I mean? We would have just assumed, oh, okay, you know, everything's kind of over after this week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he did mention...
Well, he's been saying this since Burlington, since last summer. He told people in Burlington last summer that this was that there was a big twist coming up. So...
But, what was I going to say? Yeah,
so that they'd never, ever, ever guess it, ever. Of course, he's not online, so I don't know, you know, maybe somebody has.
Well, he also said, too, that EJ is getting into the drug business, which is just stupid. I mean, come on. EJ doesn't have enough money, so he's dealing drugs. I mean, this is so dumb.
So Victor got out of the drug business, huh?
Yeah.
David EJ.
I guess EJ buys it this week.
Wow.
That's just dumb.
Then he'll be hanging around high schools trying to sell drugs to kids.
Well, the thing I don't get is the mayors have always been crooks, but they never spelled it out other than murder and...
We just
I mean, you always knew they were dealing stuff like drugs, but it was never spelled out because I mean, they wouldn't be classy if you do that.
Well, there was a little
time... Hand that all away.
During the whole part where Andre was had Echelon, that club Echelon or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And then I remember there was some dialogue implying that the Demiras were dealing with drugs. But then he was so, the whole Andre Demira was so badly written during that time. Yeah, that
who was
you know,
writing
people
it?
Just sort of forgot
the
it.
Flying
exactly.
Ball herself.
Uh-huh.
Dina Hingley, who just cannot, you know, that's what tells me that she's still writing. Because we're
is
getting
she still writing?
Stuff like, I think she is. I hear people say, "Oh
not
no,
better,
this so must be all Chris Whitesell." But I don't think so.
That's
I don't know Chris Whitesell that well, but I mean, she was always the one who made things. I mean, she did the same thing at One Life to Live. I mean, the crooks were all slime balls. They were just disgusting.
Well, we have a caller.
Oh yeah, it's Bleepity.
Bleepity's here.
Hey, Bleepity.
Yep, I just got home from work.
Tell us about Detroit. You went to the Days event in Detroit.
Oh, man, I haven't had this much fun in years. It was like going to an amusement park. It was so much fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I got down there. The casino, this is the new rebuilt MGM Grand, and I wasn't familiar with the area, so it took me a couple minutes to get the right street to get there. It took me 40 minutes to get there from my home. So I get in and ask directions, and there was a lot of walking, and it was they were in a banquet room behind the Wolfgang Puck restaurant that's at the MGM Grand. So I get there, and there's a ton of people in the hallway waiting, and I'm trying to figure out what to do and which line is for which, and there are all kinds of people from all walks of life there. They were either trying out to audition for the casting call, Mm-hmm. Or there were goofballs, bums, derelicts, and then there were some people with pink dyed hair and weirdos. But then there were some nice looking people there. You could tell they were professional, like maybe actors already.
Oh.
Like from the area in commercials or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say people drove from Chicago. They drove from Kentucky. They drove from all over for this thing.
Wow.
And there were, I would say, a good 300 people in line when I got there at 11:30, and it took forever. The line was not moving, and then it was an hour, and I was talking to a lady in front of me, and she was missing her culinary class. She was actually from Toledo, you know, and we're talking, and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd roaring, and they're going, oh, wow, look, and they're, you know, everybody's happy, and it's Dr. Dan. He came out of the banquet room where the it was a very large banquet room, like for a big meeting, like a huge wedding. It was that kind of banquet room where this was all going on. And he comes strolling out and past the guards, and everybody's going, oh, Dr. Dan, you know, and he's got like a green wool shirt on, like a plaid shirt, you know, real in khakis, real casual. And he's going, hey, group, hey, everybody have fun. And he's slapping hands, and he's kind of crouching around, kind of low, kind of trying to be a little mysterious. But he's got a laugh and grin, you know. He's going, hey, nice to see you here. Everybody have fun. And he had an aide with him or something. And I guess he had some business in the hotel or casino part of it or something. He had to go. He was just gone for 15, 20 minutes, and then he came back. And in the meantime, Brian Lucas also went down another corridor, and the gang's all, everybody's going crazy. Lucas, Brian. He's going waving to everybody. Hey, everybody. I mean, they were just the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
And across from the banquet room, where the large room, there was a small room where they, I think they had some catering, like for them for lunch. They had drinks or soft drinks or whatever, water for them. And there, I saw... It might have been Stephanie or Shelley Hennig or maybe Chloe. I couldn't tell at the time. They were both wearing black and looked really nice. And they had one of them had a plate of Jell-O or something or some kind of Jell-O mold and some salad or something. You could see them going in the conference room. And then finally you get in there. And before I got in there, some of the staff came out and they were asking us trivia questions. And if you got question right, you got a little prize. Like one lady got a T-shirt. And they came up to me and asked me about Trista, if she was Eugene's first or second wife. And I thought it was a trick question. So I said second, and they said that was right.
Oh.
I don't know. Was it?
Yes, yeah. It was right.
Okay.
The first one was Salem Strangler. What
yeah.
was her name? Bonnie or something? I don't remember.
I can't remember who his first wife was. But anyway, I want to calculate a little notebook. It had a calculator and a notepad, and it says Days of Our Lives on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. And then you took another trivia test for being a fan to be the biggest fan of the show. And if you win that, if they pull your name out of a barrel, I found out later, if you win that, you go to California, Hollywood, and or whatever, the studio, and you get to be on the set, and your all expenses paid trip, and la la la, if you win that. But I think they probably had maybe 1,500, maybe 2,000 people in attendance the whole day, and it went on today too.
Oh, okay.
At another center, but anyway, And then they had meet and greet, and there would be three actors signing autographs at a table. You had to wait in line for that. But in the meantime, two of them would be working the front of the line and the back of the line, talking to people and shaking their hand. And Brian was working the front part of the line when I came in. And then Stephanie came in and started working the back end of the line where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And she was shaking everybody's hand. They're going, oh, Stephanie, and they're taking pictures, and she's posing with people. All of them posed with you. If you asked for a picture, they got in the picture with you. And another actor would even take the picture. You just show them how to work the camera. I'm sorry, did you have something to say?
I'm sorry, I just said cool.
I know I'm talking so fast, but I'm so excited. It was so much fun. And then when I finally I got up to where Brian was, Lucas, and he's just such a cool kid. I mean, he's like your neighbor, you know, like a, somebody you know, the way they all acted. And I said, I remember your first scene on the show. You were with that girl right out of military school. And he goes, her name was Cherish. And I said, yeah, that was her. And he said, did you see me in my skivvies? And I said, well, I remember your blue boxers. And some of the crowd's laughing. I go, we all talk about your blue boxers. He got a little embarrassed, but he was winking. He was laughing. And he said, well, I had bikinis on once. I said, well, I don't remember that. Maybe I wasn't watching that day, but I pretty much watch every day. And he's just going up to people, shaking their hand. People come up, talk to him, and signing autographs. He'd sign 10 autographs for one person if you asked him to.
Aww.
And then you get up to the table, and Dr. Dan Sean Christian was signing, and he was signing for anybody, and he's just talking to everybody. And some lady brought her Days of Her Lives book, you know, by Lorraine something or other. That big old book with hourglass on the front, and he wrote a whole page for her, and she's just saying, oh, I love you, and all this other stuff. And Nadia was sitting in the middle, and she was signing, and there were a couple guys, and they were really talking to her quite a bit and asking her about acting and how to get in the business and this and that. And then next to her was James Reynolds, and there were a lot of people talking to her. And there were... They allowed 15 people at a time to go around their table. And once 5 or 10 left, then they let some more in from the line that was inside the banquet hall. To get in the banquet hall, you had to stand outside, and that was a three-hour wait for me.
Wow.
So altogether, I was there about 4.5 hours.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, you know, as much as some people have said things about Nadia and Claudia through the years, I'll tell you, I was really impressed. I thought she was a very nice lady and very forthcoming and helpful. And she signed an autograph for me, and she remembered my name because a couple more people came up, and I was talking to James Reynolds, and they wanted their picture taken. And she called me by name. She said, hey, can you help us out, take our picture? So I took three or four pictures for her. She says, oh, thank you very much. And then I went back and talked to Dr. Dan, and I asked him where he's from in Michigan. He said Grand Rapids, and he was telling me, yeah, he says, I grew up here and went to Ferris State and la-da-da-da-da, and they're just pleasant people.
Mm-hmm.
And over to the side, if you were auditioning, I mean, there are a lot of people reading lines. When you came in and registered, you either said you were a fan and auditioning or just a fan. And if you're auditioning, they gave you a 1 or 2 page script to practice lines. And the scenario was you were a waitress and you're waiting on a customer named Mike, and they gave you a page full of lines and what this so-and-so said. And when Stephanie Shelley Haig was in the line, or Brian, they'd help you read the lines. They'd play a role play with you and tell you what to look for and how you might want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so cool. They were like you. They were there for you. You know, they were there to. They appreciated you. And I have most everything taped from they've shown on the news here. I just got home. At 6 o'clock, they had something else. My sister told me when I got home. Of 6 o'clock news here on a local channel, but they went to the VA hospital one day, and the people were just so excited and happy and crying to see him, and they're hugging him and shaking their hands. And James Reynolds is serving them lunch. He has trays full of food, and he's passing them out. And Nadia is sitting with people and talking to them and shaking their hands. And these old guys, I'm telling you, they were just thrilled to see her.
Sure.
You know, and Brian was they were unloading a truck from the food bank or whatever, or supplies, into the homeless shelter, a women's homeless shelter, and they're carrying blankets and supplies, and they're actually making beds to help these people, these new people coming into the homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Christian was making beds. So, I mean, it was all genuine, and supposedly, I think the guy's name is Greg Mang or something. He's one of the producers, maybe, assistant producer to Ken Corday. he saw an article about in Time magazine about how Detroit's going down, and he said, well, something's wrong here, and he thought we should do something. That's his story anyway. So that he put this together to bring these people to Detroit to have this event with a food bank. Mm-hmm. And you bring canned goods and donate them, and that was a lot of the purpose. And Days of Our Lives donated $5,000 to the food bank.
Wow.
So, and there were people, there were actually some associate producers and backstage people at this event, and they were reading lines, and there might have been a writer or two, and I don't know who they were, but I have some video, and if I ever figure out how to put this stuff up, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And from my camera and from the TV. And there was a tall, thin, older lady with white short hair, very tall lady, skinny, 50-ish, and she seemed to be, had something to do with writing, or it wasn't Dina Higley, I don't think. But she had a lot to do with reading and running the lines with the actors and auditioning. And they had today they were bringing back 50 people, the best 50 out of the crowd today, to their. I think they're actually going to have some run-throughs and some videotaping.
Mm-hmm.
They picked two people. Okay, my sister says they picked two people. But they're people. I mean, it was cool. But Detroit is, they're making a lot of movies here now.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint Eastwood made a movie here, Gran Torino, and there are a lot of in the works. So
mm-hmm.
that could be why some of the interest is here. We don't have the big union wages like they do out west. So
mm-hmm.
And they're going to Canada to film. They'll go across the river. Windsor, Ontario is right across the river from Detroit. So there's a lot of film going on in Canada, too, across the border. So did anybody have any questions? I've been talking on and on and on.
Oh, was there any spoilers?
I asked Stephanie if Owen was coming back. She said she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Brian. He didn't give me a definite date. I said, Brian, we really want you back. And he says, thanks. I appreciate that. He really meant it. He is kind of like, I wouldn't say he seemed worried, but it was, you know, I don't know if there's anything going on yet, if they have a storyline for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia told me that they're 8 weeks ahead, which yeah. tells me that they're probably shutting down the studio for Christmas, maybe, to save money. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 8 weeks ahead in the can.
Wow, that's amazing. It used to be 3 weeks.
Yeah. They must have been really filming ahead or whatever. But and then
it will be longer.
And then I was talking to Brian about, I said, well, have any of you guys been hitting the tables here, been hitting the casino? Because it really is a glamorous casino. It's pretty nice here. It's the nicest of the ones in Detroit there. We have three of them. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I was here at 4 o'clock in the morning at the roulette wheel, and they couldn't get me away, and you know, but I won my money back. And he said, my numbers started coming in, you know, and he said he won his money back. I said, what numbers do you play? And he says, number 10 I always play. And I says, oh, like Keno. And he says, yeah, Keno on Crackhead or something. He was making a joke. I don't know what he meant by that, but I don't think he's a crackhead, no. He was just, you know, making a joke or something. They were all tired, too, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, it's like they wanted to, they went out of their way. There's no doubt. They went out of their way to be nice to you,
mm-hmm.
and it was genuine. It wasn't put on at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked quite a bit with Bart, Steve Blackwood. He came out at one point when I was waiting in line, and he came out with an assistant. A lot of them had aides or assistants. Maybe, I don't know if they were bodyguards, but maybe a guy just to be with them, you know, because they don't know Detroit. Well, Steve Blackwood does, but he's teaching his own acting classes, and he's working with Oakland University, which is nearby. And he comes out, and he says, Steve, I missed your Easter Seal event. And that got his attention, you know, because he had an Easter Seal charity event a month or two ago. I wrote about it on one of the boards. And he said, oh, they got, oh, you know about it. I said, oh, yeah. And then his aide took a picture of us together, you know, and then he walked down the line. Some people knew who he was, some didn't. there were people waiting in line. They had no idea about the show. They were just there because they wanted to audition. You know? They had no concept of the show. They're older people. They have no idea. They just wanted to try out for anything. You know, there was a job fair in town, too, somewhere else nearby. So there are people going to that, and I think they hit that, and then they came to the MGM.
Mm-hmm.
So then later on, after I was done talking to the other actors, Bart had his own table near the door, and people would go up and talk to him and recognize him, and he was advising him, you know, and just general talking to him. But where I work at, I know somebody who's an acquaintance of Steve Blackwood's from when he was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and I told Steve about that, and he gave me his business card. Steve Blackwood gave me his business card. It's got his home phone number on it. But I would never do that. I would just email him. It's got his email, you know. And he says, oh, you got to hook me up with my old buddy. He says he thinks he knows who he is because this guy that is acquaintance played baseball with Steve and said that Steve was one of the best shortstops he ever saw.
Oh.
And this guy I know, he was a vendor where I work. He delivers bread. He's a bread guy. He said he played first base in junior high with Steve and said he thought he was going to be a professional ball player. So I mentioned that to Steve Blackwood, and Steve said, well, yeah. He said, my dad was a pro ball player. I said, really? And then I had a Tiger T-shirt on. I wore a Tiger jersey to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve goes, are you a Tiger fan? I says, oh, yeah. I happen to know the assistant general manager for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a customer of mine at the store. And he's just an acquaintance, though, too. I talk to everybody, and I get to know everybody. And I know the stadium manager, too, for Comerica Park. He's a customer. He's gotten me free tickets before. He's a customer, and I'm always nice to him. He left his credit card once, but I ran out and gave it to him, you know, in the store. So I make friends with people. And Steve was kind of impressed with it. He said, really? You know Al Avila? And I said, oh, yeah. And Al Avila is assistant general manager of the Tigers. And his son, Al Avila Jr., is our up-and-coming star catcher.
Oh.
So Steve and I were talking baseball for about 10 or 15 minutes, you know. It was like we were buddies, you know.
Oh, cool.
and I told him about how I know some fans who have this blog spot, and we would love to have, you know, one of the day's actors come on and talk to us one night. And he said, well, you might be available. Let them know, you know, maybe we'll work something out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so everything was, I mean, this is the sort of thing I expected out in California to go out there. I never dreamed it would come to Detroit, never in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as far as spoilers, no, they didn't, no, I think they know better. I was trying to ask Nadia if, how Ari, Zucker was doing, you know, if she had her baby yet, is she close, and she started to answer me, and then an aide walked up to her. They had to get her more pictures. They were all running out of pictures. Stephanie, Shelley Hennig, didn't have any, but she called my girlfriend. It was my girlfriend's birthday, and I missed her birthday lunch. I handed Stephanie my cell phone. I said, here, wish my friend a happy birthday, and she sang happy birthday to her.
Aww.
And I could hear my girlfriend in the background going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. She couldn't believe. And then Shelley Hennig on the notepad I won from Days of Our Lives in the trivia,
mm-hmm.
I said, Shelley, could you write, you know, happy birthday to my friend, you know, it's her 49th birthday, and it was today, Friday the 13th, so she drew a birthday cake. Mm-hmm. And then on it, and from Stephanie, Shelley Hennig, you know, Days of Our Lives, and she says, sorry your friend missed your birthday lunch. And, yeah, it was just so cool. I just never in a million years did I dream that I would, you know. I wanted to go to a fan event a year or two ago, except my sister got very ill. You know, I would have loved to have flown out there. I was thinking about it, taking my vacation at work, and seeing one of the fan events, you know, but it just didn't work out.
Well, we have 30 seconds left, everyone.
Well, I took it all up. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you called.
No,
yeah.
We got
fun. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
So if it ever comes to your area, stand in line 3 hours. It's worth it.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got.
All right, thanks, Bleepity.
Well, thanks.
Okay. You're welcome, everybody.
So, thanks so much, everybody.
Okay. I'll see you.
All right, good night.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.